which is one of the disasters that we have, and we've grappled with most of the issues that relate to mine health and safety. So that is the issue. Now, on the matter that Honorable Norima is raising, the danger is that one day when the meeting is starting, that decision may be taken and find that is taken outside a meeting that is officially opened. And then we'll be told, no, that decision had no status. But because the meeting now is declared open, I can safely say that we are interacting with the office of the minister. We did communicate with the minister. Unfortunately, at that time, he had to attend to the Africa Down Under conference or investment conference in Australia, and we had also requested with the House Chair, who unfortunately is not around, to look at and also alternative days that we could get. On that note, we are writing to the office of the minister because we want something now in writing that on the week after next week, before we start on any other business, because we would have exhausted the BRRR process, we request him to come and respond on the letter that was sent to us in relation to issues that are related to state capture, and as committee members, we will then take our responsibility as soon as the minister is available. So we're doing that in correspondence, in writing, and by next week we'll give you the response as written. If that date that we are suggesting, which is the 18th, because see now I'm using my primary school education, that for every day you must put a 7, it will tell you the date the following week. So because next week is 11th, I know that if you put 7, it will give you 18, and that's how it goes. So we expect the minister then to confirm the 18th, if not, give us an alternative date. But we want to treat this matter as a priority, so that we dispose with it, the sooner the better. Not dispose of it by closing. Dispose of it in terms of the first phase of it, so that we can look on the next step or the next phase or next process that has to be followed. So that is the date we are projecting. Secondly, I spoke to the House Chair again. I will have to do it officially. I was told he's not around, to say in order to avoid the committee not to perform any other duty. You remember that's what we talked about. We only have got Wednesdays as committee week. We request that we be given an extra committee. We will finalize that issue again next week on the basis that it is not our committee week. Some committee members, we may find that even if we are given a Friday, they don't have one committee. They've got more than one committee, maybe two. So it will also be subject to ourselves as committee members. When do we think that we can take an alternative day also to continue with the committee week, or continue with that work and then get an alternative committee, alternative date for the issue that is an additional item to us. So that's basically the process that we are following at this stage. Next week, even if it was going to be the case, we don't want to make things to clash. We are supposed to deal with the adoption of the report in terms of the BRRR, and nothing more on top of that. So we will deal with that issue only as an item on its own as a committee with no other matter that will be on the agenda. Because if we do so, then it might be too time-consuming to ourselves. That is what I can say for now. Then can we deal with that matter only when we get the response from the minister next week and dealing with other matters for now. Okay. Any apologies?
Good morning, everyone. I've got apology from Advocate Schmidt. He's attending the JSC, and Mr. Mokwena, he's been deployed to KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you.
You want to put... Okay. Having received the apologies, we've got our own special guest that sometimes we... Okay, let me leave that one. They may recommend that you be not given too much money. We've got the AG's office. I know they don't like to stay too much because they might get familiar with us and end up making favorable recommendations even when they are not. So I know they might be in a hurry. Can we give it to you for your presentation?
Morning. Thank you, Chair. Morning, Chair. Morning, members, members of management. We've prepared a presentation, as Chair has said.
Sorry, let me make this apology, at least as long as committee members are secured. We seem to have a little bit of a problem with the technology. They are still working on it. Sorry for the inconvenience caused. Okay.
Yes, so we've prepared some slides, but I understand there was some circulation of the slides before now that the technology has failed us, so we're going to walk through the slides and point page numbers just to help each other where we are. So with me today is Lufuno to my left. Lufuno is the senior manager leading the DMR audit and a few other entities, and to my right is Asanda. She's the manager on the DMR audit and a few other audits within the portfolio. So, Chair, if we move on with the presentation, obviously we always start with our reputation promise, which comes straight from the Constitution in the sense that we've got a mandate to enable members of Parliament, amongst others, to enable oversight, to ensure accountability, to ensure good governance, to ensure good financial management in the public sector. So this interaction today is part of that mandate that we do have and responsibility to arm you with information and insights based on our work. If we move on to the next page, Chair, then we are talking into this BRRR process where we reflect on the audit work that we've done in the past year, both for the department and the entity, so that you can do your role to assess independently, also assess the performance of the entities that you oversee for purposes of producing the BRRR, the recommendations report. And then, Chair, if I skip on to slide number 4, this is now to anchor us. Our outcomes are not sitting in isolation. They link directly to the MTSF because we do audit against the plans that you prepare, the reports that you prepare, assessing yourselves against, you know, the targets that you were given to make sure that the outcomes as outlined in the MTSF, NDP, and the SDGs, you know, if we take it internationally and universally, are ultimately achieved, especially in this minerals portfolio. So we like to anchor our messages around this big picture as well. And then, Chair, if we skip on to the next slide, our theme for our messages this year is accountability. I think it's always relevant, but it's something that we have highlighted. And if we skip on to slide number 6, this is where we map out the accountability wheel, and if we look at block number 2, this is where targets now need to first be defined in the SMART way, in the SMART criteria that we all are familiar with. And then after targets are defined and the plan is there, then there needs to be very close internal controls and supervision to make sure that those plans have a good chance of being achieved. And those need people to supervise, to monitor, which is now block number four, starting with the first layer, the first line of defense, which is management. Internal audit fits in there, audit committees fit in there. So without monitoring these plans and these interventions to make sure that objectives are achieved, will not really bear fruit. And then when we skip on to block number five, if for whatever reasons there is variances between what was planned or anticipated and the results, then there needs to be consequences. This is a message that we keep driving as an office, and we want to keep on driving to say there needs to be consequences. Otherwise, you know, we just keep going around in circles. And with good consequence management, there should be better outcomes. And then better outcomes leading to a better life for the citizens of the country, the ordinary men on the street, which is why we're all here today to serve our people and our country. So that's the accountability wheel, Chair, and I think it's going to run through the rest of the slides as I pointed out. And Chair, if we skip on to slide number seven, there we're just pointing out a process that we taking up a notch higher this year, which we call the enhanced key controls. So sometime in October, it's already October, we want to get into certain entities identified in year, go in and assess all these things that are mapped out on the right-hand side, the financial health, performance management, procurement and contract management. So we do not want to necessarily leave things until the end of year, and then we come with an audit and there's no way to change or to adjust. So the department is one of those entities that have been identified to move in and do this assessment in year, so that there can be corrective measures in year still. As I've pointed out, there could be a monitoring in year still, and we give those insights to both management, to both the executive authority and even this committee, insofar as how are all these areas, compliance management, HR management, IT management, and so forth, how is the entities doing in year, as I've pointed out before, you know, the final financial statements are prepared. So the department is one of those entities that have been identified in this process, as I pointed out. And then Chair Lufuno will take us through the detail now of the outcomes, the actual outcomes. But overall, if I can quickly summarize or just give a high-level overview, there's been an overall improvement in this portfolio this year. It's something to explore whether it will hold for a long time. We hope it will. But we're going to give you what, you know, has led to those outcomes and field any questions that the members of the committee have on this particular outcome. Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, Lufuno.
Thank you, Chair. If we can start there on slide number eight. Slide number eight is just giving the content of what is going to be discussed. We are going to discuss the three audit areas that we have done as the Auditor General, and then the different types of audit opinion that we issue, and then the overall portfolio that we will be addressing or dealing with today, and then the audit outcomes for the whole portfolio, and also the movement between what happened in the prior, comparing it to the current year. Then also the movement of the quality of the submitted financial statements, also the annual performance report, and the compliance with laws and regulations when you compare the two financial years. We will continue with the detailed information on how the annual performance report itself, the non-compliance work with the non-compliance that we have identified, the irregular expenditure for the year, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the year, and fraud and consequence management, how it was dealt with within the portfolio, and also any supply chain management findings that have been reported to management for them to investigate. Then we also deal with the status of internal control and then the assurance providers. And we'll summarize the root causes for the portfolio
and then the commitments that we had received with the, from the minister, and also the recommendation for the portfolio committee. That will be the last slide. Okay. So we can move to slide number 8. Slide number 8 is just explaining the legends that we will be using throughout the whole document. The green part there is will be referring to unqualified with no findings, and then the yellow block will be referring to unqualified with findings. The purple will be referring to qualified with findings. The pink one is an adverse, and then the red is disclaimer, then the blue is audit outstanding. But for this portfolio, we don't have any audits that are outstanding. So when we talk about the movement, when we are comparing the two financial years, the green dot with an arrow pointing up, that's an improvement. And then we have a yellow pointing to the right, which is unchanged. And then the yellow pointing up, there was a slight improvement. And then the yellow pointing down, it was a slight regression. And then the red, it will be indicating that in that portfolio, in that entity, there was a regression when comparing to the previous financial year. So we can move to slide number 10. Slide number 10 is detailing the three areas that we have audited in this financial year. The first area, we have audited the annual financial statements that were prepared by the department and the entities, and also they provided us with the annual performance report, where we now went and checked the planned against the reported, and then if there was evidence to support what has been reported. And then also we audited the compliance with key legislation around the financial matters. Okay. Then slide number 11, it's explaining the different audit outcomes that we'll be referring to. The green one, or the very first one, is an unqualified opinion with no findings, which is what we have termed clean audit. In that, it means that information that was submitted, other the financial information was credible, and then it was reliable, and then there was no material misstatements at all on the financial statements. And then in terms of the performance information, it was useful and reliable, and key legislations were complied with. So when we come to the next one, where we term it financial unqualified opinion with findings, the financial statements were free from material misstatements. However, either the entity or the department had issues relating to performance information or relating to compliance with laws and regulations. Then we move to qualified opinion. Qualified opinion is when the financial statements that have been submitted for audit, they had material misstatements, the entities or the department could not correct before we finalized the audit. And they could have issues also relating to performance information and also compliance with laws and regulations. Then the adverse opinion and the disclaimer opinion, also the qualified opinion, I'm glad to announce that we did not have any for this portfolio. So in this portfolio, we are limited now to the clean audits and then the financial unqualified opinions with findings. So the total audit outcomes that will be presented today will be dealing with mineral resources, the department itself, and then the Council for Geoscience, Mine Health and Safety Council, MINTEC, South African Diamond and Precious Metal Regulator, and then the State Diamond Trader. So all the entities have been finalized, and then the audit outcomes will be presented today. Okay. We can move to slide number 14. We've got the 4 years audit outcome for comparison purposes. Like Zolisa has indicated, that there have been an improvement in the overall audit outcome for the portfolio. If you look at the 2016-17 financial year, we have four entities that are sitting under the clean audit category, and then the two entities that are sitting under unqualified with findings. So the one that are sitting under the clean audit category, we've got DMR, we've got Mine Health and Safety Council, we've got MINTEC, and then the State Diamond Trader. And Council for Geoscience
and then SADPMR is sitting with unqualified with findings. And then if you compare to last year we had two entities that were clean and then four entities that were sitting with unqualified with findings. Slide number 15 is indicating the movement in comparison with the previous financial year. So the colors inside the blocks, it indicates where the entities moved from. If you look at unqualified with no findings, we have four entities that have improved. Three of them have improved. DMR, Mine Health and Safety Council, and State Diamond Trader moved from unqualified with findings to clean audit. And then MinTech maintained its clean audit status, and then Council for Geoscience also remained as unqualified with findings, and then SADPMR has regressed from clean audit to now unqualified with findings as compared to the previous financial year. Slide number 16. This is now the movement of the quality of financial statements, annual performance report, and compliance. I will start with the annual financial statements on the left-hand side. What it means there, that 100% means that all the entities in terms of the opinion relating to the annual financial statements, all the entities at the end had no material findings or material items in the financial statements, so throughout the whole portfolio. And all the entities submit their annual financial statements on time. And then 83% of the entities had submitted their financial statements without material adjustments. So throughout the audit process, there was no, when we did the audit, they didn't have to go back and correct the material misstatements for them now to get the audit opinion that says unqualified. And then we move to the annual performance report. Then in terms of the audit outcomes, there were no material findings on the annual performance report for all the entities. And then findings on compliance with key legislation. We didn't have material findings on 67% of the entities within the portfolio. That was on DMR, State Diamond Trader, Mine Health and Safety Council, and MinTech. And then we had material non-compliance under CGS and also SADPMR. So 33% of the portfolio had material non-compliance with laws and regulations. Then the following slide, slide number 18, is giving details on the annual performance reports based on the programs or objectives that we have audited in the current financial year. Okay. The first block is talking about the audit itself and then the movement if when you're comparing it to the previous year, and then the objectives that we have audited. And then in terms of usefulness and reliability, if ever there were any material findings that were, reported in the audit report. And then the last block is talking about whether the entity had an opportunity to go and make adjustments for them now not to have findings. In terms of DMR, overall audit outcome, there were no material findings reported either for usefulness or reliability. However, that came after the department had to go and make some adjustments, and then they managed now to have no findings. And then also for CGS as well, they didn't have material findings that were now reported on the audit report. However, they also had to make adjustments, there you can see on program objective number one, and then objective number seven, and objective number nine as well. And then Mine Health, MinTech, and SADPMR and STT, they didn't have any material findings reported on the audit report, and also they didn't make any
I mean, material adjustments on the annual performance report that was submitted. Okay. Then we move over to compliance with laws and regulations. You can go to slide number 21. As I've indicated, there were two entities that had material non-compliance with laws and regulations. That was the Council for Geoscience and then the SADPMR. In terms of the Council for Geoscience, the annual performance report that was submitted for audit purposes did not include some of the actual performance results, meaning that in terms of the APP that was approved and then the report that was now presented to us, it didn't have all the planned objectives, and then they had to go and rectify that and resubmit for us to audit, hence the non-compliance. And then in terms of us now auditing the resubmitted annual performance report, then they managed to have now reported everything, and then there were no material findings that were identified on the resubmitted annual performance report. Then on SADPMR side, the non-compliance that they had was in terms of the annual financial statements. We gave them an opportunity to go and rectify some of the misstatements, material misstatements that we had identified on the annual financial statements that were submitted for audit purposes. And then once they have now rectified that and we went back and re-audited, there were no more material misstatements that were identified on the annual financial statements. So those are the two non-compliance with laws and regulations that were identified for the portfolio in this current financial year. And normally, under the non-compliance, you will see that there is supply chain management non-compliance. I'm glad to report that there were no material supply chain management non-compliance for the portfolio in this financial year. And slide number 22, irregular expenditure over the 3 years. As you can compare the 3 years, there's been a huge improvement in terms of the irregular expenditure for the portfolio. The overall irregular expenditure for the year that was reported or identified either through the audit process or by management was 329,000 for the year. Then the areas of the non-compliance, then we had non-compliance with procurement processes for State Diamond Trader, and also there was non-compliance for CGS as well in terms of board members that were remunerated in contravention of the Treasury regulations. And then on SDT, the quotations, they didn't obtain three quotations or apply the preference point system when they were awarded their tenders. Then fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we only had one contributor towards the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which was the late payment of interest of 33,000 that was now on CGS. And then slide number 24, fraud and consequence management. I think the members will recall that last year when we reported the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the irregular expenditure, we said that we introduced the concept of consequence management, that we will go back and see if ever management has investigated whatever has been identified and then have they done anything in relating to the people that maybe had found to be guilty of that irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So we went back and looked at what management has done in the previous years. All the irregular expenditures that and fruitless and wasteful that we identified in the previous year, management did go back and investigate to see if ever there's anyone that will have can be held liable for that. And also, we are glad to say that there is no fraud that has been identified in terms of the audit process relating to fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the portfolio. And the slide number 25, I've said that there were no supply chain management findings reported for the portfolio. This is just to indicate that there was nothing that we had referred for management to continue to investigate because there was not really a supply chain management or supply chain management audit findings that were identified. Then the status of internal control and assurance providers. Okay. If you look at the block on the left-hand side, status of key control, in terms of the leadership, you can see that the portfolio is fairly green. And then on DMR, there on effective HR management, what we are highlighting to leadership there is that there were a number of vacancies that the department had and all the entities had as well in the financial year, where now the department went and deployed some of their employees to go and help out at the entities. And that created now void at the department side. So what we are saying to leadership is that they need to make sure that they address that as well. And then policies and procedures for CGS. There were issues that we have identified with some of their HR policies that were not really aligned to legislation, so that hence the two there for DMR and CGS. And then on financial and performance management, proper record keeping for CGS, I've already said that in terms of if we look at the annual performance reports, they also had an opportunity to go and rectify the annual performance report there, and then daily and monthly controls there was also affected by that. And then regular, accurate, and complete financial information, also including performance information, there DMR, CGS, they had to go and make changes on their annual performance reports. And then for SADPMR, they also had to go and adjust on their annual financial statements. And then due to all those adjustments that needed to be done, so that also affected the review and the monitoring review and monitoring, that also affected some of the compliance with laws and regulations, especially for CGS and SADPMR. And then on design with IT controls, there were issues that were identified now for DMR and also for MinTech there on IT. So the details of the information is there on the blog underneath. So I've gone through all the details there. Then the assurance providers, which is on the right-hand side, senior management was green for the three entities, and then there was assessment for senior management as yellow for CGS and then SADPMR. CGS mainly in relation to their performance information, and then SADPMR in relation to the annual financial statements today. And then the accounting officers or accounting authorities for all the entities were assessed as green. Then the executive authority were also assessed as green. Internal audit was also assessed as green, and audit committee was assessed as green. Then the portfolio committee as well was also assessed as green for the portfolio. Then we can move over to slide number 29, where we are going to talk about the root causes, the status of the commitment by the minister, and then the proposed recommendation to the portfolio committee. I've already indicated that there were some vacancies in key positions, vacancies for both SADPMR and also for CGS, where the department also assisted in making sure that those positions are filled or they were acting people in those positions. For SADPMR and both CGS, there was no CEO in the period under review, and some of the members were acting, especially for SADPMR, management were changing within their acting role, so which opened up gaps in their roles that they are appointed for. And then also CGS, there was no CFO, and also in terms of the executive member responsible for the performance information as well. So that created gaps there. So we are saying that if all these vacancies are filled, then they are also on their way to move to clean audits. Then in terms of the status of commitments by the minister, There was a commitment that was made to say that the governance structures, internal audit needs to be strengthened to make sure that the financial information produced is credible. That we are glad to announce that that has been done. And then management should monitor compliance with legislation. If you look at the compliance findings were limited to the annual performance report that had to be changed and also the annual financial statements that had to be changed. They are on their way to making sure that they don't have any material non-compliance. And then one thing that they still need to work on is to make sure that the vacancies are filled to make sure that they can maintain the audit outcomes that we're seeing now and also improve with the other two entities that still need to move to clean audit. Then the proposed recommendation from us is that that the portfolio committee should request management to provide feedback on the implementation or action plans to make sure that the other two entities can also move to clean audits and also how they will make sure that they maintain their clean audits for their whole portfolio. So that is mainly the recommendation that we're making to the portfolio committee. Thank you, Jack.
Okay. Thank you very much. Not scary. You know, when you wait for the report of the AG, it's like during our days when you were called in a class and other names are called and others are not called, and then you know you have failed. Once your name is not mentioned, you know you are failed. So I know this system is a little bit complex because you are all inside the house and you are being reported when you are present. But it's not for me to make the observation. There is the report from the AG. Any questions, honorable members? Honorable Lorima, is there anyone else? Okay. Honorable Lorima.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. It's just about the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Did you ascertain what consequences there were for the people who were guilty of these infractions? I see that on slide 29, your recommendations to the Portfolio Committee, your second one is a list of action taken against transgressors must be provided quarterly to the Portfolio Committee to follow up for all irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Did you have such a list, or were you able to compile one during your audit? Or is that still missing?
Okay. There's no other one who wants to ask a question for now.
Thank you, Chair.
All right.
If we look at the slide 23, the slide 23 is the one that is dealing with fruitless and wasteful expenditure, comparing fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the 2 years. So last year's fruitless and wasteful expenditure, that was now 13,000 rands. I just need to confirm what was that. And then this year it's the 33. Okay. And the 15, 16, the 13, the contributor was Mine Health and Safety Council. That was MHSC's And then if you look at the current year, there hasn't been any fruitless and wasteful expenditure that has been incurred by Mine Health and Safety Council, meaning that in terms of them putting processes in place, they have put processes in place to prevent, not just to detect the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Then comparing the two as well, in the current year, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it is coming from CGF, and then they didn't have fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the previous years. So now we will go back and see what measures they've put in place to make sure that that it doesn't reoccur going forward.
Can I follow up? Could you just give us something about the nature of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the current report? What was it? You say it was the... previously it was interest for the late payment of a supplier. What was it this time? And also, I'm also trying to establish, I mean, are there consequences for the people who make these errors? I mean, is there a disciplinary process? What happens?
The interest for late payment of suppliers that relates to the current financial year. So what the legislation requires the accounting authority to do is to go and investigate. And then they need to investigate to determine whether there is somebody who was liable, and then if there is someone who's liable, then they recover the money from that person. Yes, that is the requirement. So when we go back and check if ever there were processes for them for the investigation, and then what was the determination after the investigation was done. And if one of the determination was that, yes, somebody was negligent, and then the person is liable, we go and follow up to see if ever that money has been recovered from the person or not.
Okay. I was told I must never question the law, I must ask the law. Just a few things I wanted to check on this report in terms of overall. If I were to start at the tail end on the recommendations, they say ignorance is quite expensive. So just bear with me that I might be asking from a committee point of view. If I read, for instance, and your recommendation number three says the PC should monitor implementation of commitments by accounting officer, stroke authorities and executive authorities. Now, take this rural farm boy brought to Cape Town, seeing the lights for the first time. My own township, there's not even a single robot. The town where I come from. Now, I was trying to consult with the rules of parliament on the establishment of committees to say, what are the powers? Now, it's good to monitor, but monitoring sometimes is subject to a forum of this nature, which comes once or quarterly. And sometimes damage is already done. Now, I see point three, and I want to implement point three. As a form of advice, what is it that the committees must do? Understand, mainly the relationship will be between the executive authority and the and the PC. Now, having the multi-layered system, the executive officer or authority. Has got another above that is doing the levels of accountability. And that's the same thing going up to the executive authority. That is, to me, that would be, because my question would have been the other way around, to say, what the recommendation talks about what the PC must do in order to move the two main, particularly the two entities. It's more like we're just happy, surprisingly happy, that the rest of others have improved. And what could be these measures that can be done to sustain those ones? It's a good report. You only need to push and move two now. And which now, even that one is not in a bad state. But is there a mechanism so that we are able to preempt before we come here again and say, now, like the one that was always on the right, now it has regressed. It is highly possible that next time when you come back, instead of having four, we'll have four regressed and two having made progress. Either way, so we'll push the two and then find out that the other two goes down. What is it that probably would require an efficient system? I'm not going to comment on the ratings, because I'm raising this thing, and you know we always have that tough question. In order for the committee to understand how it does its work, not that it doesn't know, but it understands its work, but it might be doing exactly the system that you are doing, but at a different level. It makes accountability. It is not responsible for how you implement. So even if you say rectify this, this person may come back not having rectified. It then becomes part of the long bureaucratic process. I'm asking this question so that when the committee says we have to assess and match our own efficiency, which tools do we have to measure efficiency? Mind you, we don't have that privilege that they might be having, where they can come and the AG raise this and that and they account. So I'm just looking at an efficient implementation of your recommendations, understanding the nature and the system that applies. We want to improve, and I'm sure none of us here wouldn't appreciate the fact that there is a movement. Even the little regression, it should concern us. And we want to, next time, to stand up and say, they are all on the green bar. No one is left behind. But at the same time, as we push the two to be all on the green bar, we must know, as we're sitting here, and when we talk and say, you see, when this trend is going like this, it actually means you are going to others that are down, but we want those that are down to be the ones who are moving up to you. So the trace mechanisms that can be more effective for the committee to, I think that to me will be basically the main issue. And I must be upfront, mind you, the biggest problem with the entities of the state is that they don't apply the same system of establishment. You can check them. Others, there is a direct accountability to parliament. Others, they've got their own establishment based on the specific legislation that talks to their entities, which becomes much more different compared to those ones that are established by law of parliament and they've got a direct accountability. I don't want to mention names because some of those are too big to mention, whether it's about size and so forth. So I just wanted to get clarity on that one.
Thank you, Chair. It's not an easy question that you're asking. I think you've mentioned the multi-layered system and government that we operate in. And if we go back to the accountability wheel, right at the beginning, we spoke to how others must plan, how others must do, how others must monitor, and then others must take consequences, make sure consequence management happens. So it is indeed difficult for people like you, especially the portfolio committee, to do. And I think you did outline your role very well to say yours is really to oversee and, you know, the implementation. Others are there to do and to make sure things happen. So a role that is, you know, in a way similar to ours, because we, you know, come in year in, year out, even when we see a problem, and maybe I can quickly help the CFO put together an asset register, but I can't and I shouldn't, because that's not my role. Mine is to go in there and to do an independent evaluation of what you have done, because that is your role. And it brings us again to, you know, those different lines of defense, you know, in this whole puzzle, in the sense that the different management becomes then the first line of defense to say you are hired to put together policies and to make sure there's internal control to help you achieve the objectives. Then you hire other layers, internal audit, who's not there necessarily to do as well, but to monitor what management is doing, audit committee to come and question and monitor what management is doing, independent auditors come and, you know, and so forth up the chain. So it is a multi-layered system, and I think we need to put, you know, the responsibility where it belongs, like at the right door, you know, like recognizing all those different roles that are different between the implementers and the monitors, if you will. So I think when we made that recommendation there, right at the bottom, where we are asking the portfolio committee to continue, it's almost something that is generic that we put in our slide, but I think it's relevant for this portfolio as well, to say just to monitor what minister, when he comes here and tells you, and, you know, jot down those maybe two or three commitments that he makes to you for the next quarter, so that there's continuity, you know, in the commitments that have been made. And I think insofar as this committee is concerned, Chair, what we look at, obviously looking into a myriad of other things. You look into legislation, you look into, yeah, you do oversight visits. But I think our assessment, and so far as the committee is concerned, will relate directly to the outcomes. You know, have you engaged the department and the entities on their APPs? Do you review and you do engage on the portfolio budget votes? You know, when it comes now to the annual reports, is there robust engagement, regular meetings and oversight? So those are the kind of interventions that we now look at, recognizing again all the different roles that the different role players must play in this big puzzle.
Okay, now we hear you. You've got the same difficulty that probably you might be having. We will. I'm sure the only commitment we can give, nothing goes under the carpet. The reason I was saying this, the simple and straightforward, is that, for instance, if you look at some of your bigger entities, the level of accountability goes beyond even just the committee. It goes up to Parliament as a whole, and whatever is done or you could identify, it becomes an overall responsibility. So I think it's more appropriate that we must ask those questions, so that if there is any advice that we could get to do much more better, we can get that. But we heard you, and thank you very much. They are going to answer themselves. They are here. except one worried honorable member who has decided to voluntarily deprive himself to scrutinize all of them. But we'll keep his questions, he's going to drop them, and then we'll keep his questions and ask those questions on his behalf. Unfortunately, we may not be able to write back the answers to him on what will be the answers. But thank you very much with the information. It's going to help us. And congratulations to the department and its entities. You have all passed. The only thing is that others have got a distinction. Others, they just got good marks. You are all supposed to do well. Now, so that the AG doesn't come here and say, I didn't say this, don't disappoint us next time. So if you disappoint us, it's simple because you just decided to do so, even against our own advice. So I must say, although the AG doesn't say, you continue to some degree, in fact, in a much more emphatic way, because last time you were less. I think even the department was not at the level where it is. So we must appreciate the improvement that has happened. And I accept your commitment in silence from you that you won't go below those who have cross the line. Don't go below. We won't go below. And those that are just missed it, they are already preparing to be above. I won't tell you what will happen to you if all of you are on the green bar. What will happen? Just do it so that surprises are good. You may never know what you may achieve. There is a football club that when it plays, they say, if you win, you will share the money amongst yourselves. And I'm not saying that's what will happen, because we don't have money this side. But you don't know what could happen. Thank you very much, AG. Mr. Gweyama and Dr. Nicole also are taking a 10-minute stretch break. Can you come?
We don't mind sharing the money.
I also don't mind.
Especially my. Can to the portfolio committee's resolution.
Yeah. To share the surplus.
Why now are we all of a sudden having cameras coming in? The research thing.
Upon confirmation, because I never thought we were blessed. I wish number back. My father's I want to see how they are.
I'm likely to see the
I'm not going to do that. 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 Anything is really a thing. When you have to do it, 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 when you have to do And it's not what we do to the body. It's the mental submission. If no one is the only thing in the life created, somehow they might have one perspective. And then they think that we should know everything. Now we have to come down here or the following year.
Gracias.